Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Are you taking us in? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidelon. That's how I think you pronounce that. It's Kelly Bidelon, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Fresh off his appearance at the showdown yesterday.
Yeah.
Sugar Hill Furious 5, the showdown. You want to bet on showdown. That as well.
Yeah, nice little bet. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you get on TV? I saw a screenshot. Did you get on TV?
Matt and I were in the background, yes, at some point. At a hole 13. I was like one person away from being selected for this putting contest.
Oh, man.
Kill. It was.
That would have been awesome.
This was. We're not in snakes story territory. This would have been better because I was right up there. It was the best viewpoint we had of any hole. We were right there on the green. The guys like hit it off the green. So they're all right in front of us. And I was holding, like, I had 2 beers in my jacket and holding Matt's beer.
No.
So I was, like, really hoping I was going to be selected so I could be like, hey, Brooks, I need you to hold this.
If I was there, I'd have been like, for the show, Kelly, for the show.
It was a great time, though. Beautiful course, awesome event, good times.
Are you the guy, like, if you go to Absinthe or some one of those shows, like, you're the guy who ends up dancing on stage?
I mean, I try not to be, but oh, sometimes it happens.
I'd like to go to Absinthe with you, and I'd like you to be the guy selected. Just want to point that out. You made a good choice yesterday because the Emirates NBA Cup final was a Travis Shamockery.
I'll take it.
You were on the Bucks.
I had the Bucks futures. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, 5-1 on the Bucks.
You had the Bucks futures.
Yeah.
All right, but were you on OKC?
No, I didn't bet the
okay.
game.
Okay, Drew was on OKC.
I had a Giannis points over. I was debating points and rebounds over points over. Love when that mistake gets made because he didn't get to over his points, but points and rebounds was easy.
For those who missed it, Bucks beat the Thunder 97-81. So every player on the Bucks roster gets themselves $500,000 for winning the in-season Emirates NBA Cup. Bucks were the runners-up last year. They win it this year. The Oklahoma City Thunder end up with 81 points. It took them until 17.6 seconds left in the game to get to 80. They hit a three-pointer to get from 78 to 81. Oklahoma City, prior to this point this season, had never scored less than 99 points in any game. And 80 was the fewest points scored by any team in the NBA in any game this season. So they just barely got by that. So Milwaukee just destroys them.
Yeah.
And good for the Bucks.
Yeah,
and
I caught a fair amount of the second half. We were back here, watched the second half here, grabbed some dinner at Barry's, which was delicious as always. But nice. I pulled the Gil though when I was checking scores out there, and I'm like, what's going on in this game? And it's like, okay, let me look at the three pointers. Oh, that's what's going on in this game because it was
exactly what's going on.
Yeah, OKC struggling massively from downtown.
And then Giannis's reaction was to go hug his brother, basically saying, "There's your 500K, buddy. Enjoy."
What I want to know is any casino managers in this town. How many bets of $515,000 were put on red or black last night? That's what I wanted. Because, yeah, $515,000 is cool, Gil. You know what's a lot cooler? $1 million.
Stupid. By the way, on the show, we have a spectacular show today. May I call it spectacular?
Yeah, we do.
Jake Bensequin joins us. He is one of the folks with a survivor entry left. His entry is the one that I mentioned that I was invested in one. His is the entry that I have the small investment
nice.
In.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jake from ProfitX, one of the co-founders of ProfitX, one of the 50 remaining survivor entries, we will get a heat check on what he's thinking about picking this week. And more importantly, beyond this week, what's he thinking about for Christmas? Because Christmas is, again, moving day at the Masters, moving day at Circuit Survivor, where there is not a comfortable pick among the six. Let's put it that way. So we'll get a heat check on Jake. And by the way, I nor anybody else who's invested in his entry have anything to do with the picks. Nothing at all. It's a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Good.
because we're all out and he's gotten himself this far.
So yeah, okay. I mean, look, I think sometimes it's nice to be able to ask for advice if you want it, you know what I mean? But otherwise, cooks stay out of the kitchen.
Even if he asked, I wouldn't give it.
Okay.
Because who am I? Right?
It really is amazing.
You know?
I got one buddy who's asked me for fantasy advice probably four times this year. I could not have given him worse answers every single time. No. Including Brock Purdy for this last week.
He, along with all the others who are still in Survivor, have done very well on their own. They don't need any outside advice at this point. Obviously, the $14.266 million circa Survivor contest. We'll also have a visit here from Gina Fiore as well later on the show. For those unfamiliar with her, she might have, I'll be conservative, one of the great stories in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And not just sports betting, but just gambling in general. I would say Jeff Ma probably has the coolest story, MIT Blackjack team.
Yeah.
That's kind of tough, But Gina's is right up there. And we'll talk to Gina. She's doing a whole bunch of stuff, including Masterclass. She has a calendar, sports betting calendar. Let me be specific about that. She should probably clarify. She has a documentary about her. All kinds of stuff. Let's put it this way. It was not hard to research everything that she's into these days. So we'll do that. Jason Weingart will join us, JVT, with some football thoughts, college football, obviously, today. His UNLV Rebels are in action. I can call him his, right? He's a big fan of UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he has a thought on the UNLV-Cal game. If not, the Boca Raton Bowl that precedes that today. And other bowl picks, not to mention what he has in the NFL. The Del Boca Vista Bowl is today.
Let's go, Boca Bowl, yeah.
Oh, very exciting about that. Speaking of college football bowls, I hope you hit on Memphis yesterday. I hope you got the 4.5 and were able to get it done with the Memphis Tigers against West Virginia last night in a game that soared over the 60, 42-37. Memphis gets it done in a game that I thought Memphis would win this a lot more comfortably, but they couldn't get West Virginia off the field either. And this came down to, again, we talk about, you know, the ridiculous coaching decisions in the National Football League. Well, Memphis ends up five late in this game. They're doing anything they want on offense, right? They end up with a 4th-and-3 in plus territory. It would have been they had a choice between going for the 4th-and-3. This is with just under a minute left. West Virginia has no timeouts left. Going for the 4th-and-3 or attempting a 50-yard field goal. I guess you could pooch punt it there too if you wanted to.
Right.
They've been doing anything they wanted all day, including, by the way, Seth Hennigan, the quarterback, with a keeper. You know, he was doing anything he wanted. Goes, oh, of course, guess what they choose? They're going to kick a field goal. And I'm like, oh, my God, can you stop with the field goal? So, of course, it misses.
Oh,
by the way, even if you make the field goal, they can still tie you and go to overtime.
They're up five?
They're up five.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you doing? And he misses it.
And when you get a chance to make a one-possession game, you take it every time.
As I love to say.
Then the pooch punt. Why isn't it done more often?
I don't know. So anyway, West Virginia gets the ball back with like 50-plus seconds left in the game. I think it's 56. Don't hold me to that exact seconds. And so, of course, I'm like, if I lose this game, right? They were up 17. They were up 17-0, Memphis was. So West Virginia, with no timeouts, matriculates the ball down the field to, I want to say, about the 35-yard line. Well, they don't have a timeout. The quarterback for West Virginia slides too early before the sticks, so the clock keeps moving. So then it becomes a little harried situation for West Virginia, and he throws a ball that gets picked. Ball game, right? Because he got rushed. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm lucky. So all you have to do is go down, right?
Mm.
The clock is ticking. We're almost down to 10 seconds. All you have to do is go down. So this D-back for Memphis doesn't go down. He's like, let me just sort of lollygag here, see what happens. Go down! Dude on West Virginia comes behind him, pokes the ball out. West Virginia recovers, 10 seconds left, right around the 30-plus yard line. Going crazy. Except for one little detail that on review is that right before he got the ball poked out, this is after like, 4 seconds of running for no reason, he did barely start a slide. Like, it finally occurred to him to start a slide. So on review, totally lucky, Memphis maintains possession. There is your ball game.
Wow. What time did this game start?
Oh, it ended well after midnight East Coast time.
That's right.
It's a good question. It started at 6 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, all right. Because, when I got back home, it was still on. I was shocked.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Pacific, which, again, what are we doing with that? your sole, you know, standalone bowl game. By the way, let me just say this, the last point of this game. The color commentator, whose name I not only didn't know but didn't want to know, he goes, this is the Memphis player that picked off that ball and decided to just sort of run haphazardly down the field. The color commentator goes, and I quote, "Elijah Herring giving himself up saves the day for the Memphis Tigers." No, he shouldn't have been running in the first place. He did not save the day. He saved it from himself. Anyway, I hope you got the word.
We're going to have to play the Bull sponsor game. I was just cracking up checking this one out. The Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
It is the Scooter's Coffee Frisco
Scooter's
Bowl.
Coffee, man. That's the only one I drink. I don't know about you. Never seen it more in my life. What is this game? Maybe we'll play that tomorrow. Every year is fun. Scooter's Coffee.
Just don't do a disgusting mayo thing this year. I know you.
That'd be Duke's Mayo.
Please don't do that.
The first time that came on the scene for a bowl sponsor, I'd never heard of Duke's Mayo.
Duke's Mayo apparently is a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there is a select area of the country where Duke's is pretty big.
And before we get to JVT, the other big thing, of course, that happened yesterday right after we got off air, because that's when everything happens news-wise, is the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris says, we are going with Michael Penix the rest of the way. That's it for Kirk Cousins.
We had a few. Me and you had to try to scramble and get off our Browns bets, which I did.
Immediately got off it. Yeah, so I'm going to take the
DTR. You got to be kidding.
I'm going to take the juice hit on that. But I'd much rather take the juice hit than live through that. DTR.
I mean, I might end up doing it. Like, did you have to buy? You bought a half point? Was that at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might end up doing that too. I will end up doing that if I have to. I am not going to battle with DTR at 7 points.
Right move for the Falcons if you're trying to make the playoffs here?
I think it's real. I'm going to go with yes, Gil, because it must be so bad with Cousins that they had to do this.
JVT's on the other side. Right before we get to JVT, I will give you the breakdown of Kirk Cousins' stats. First nine games when the Falcons were 6-3.
Bonkers.
Versus after that. Quite the precipitous drop off, to say the least. Whether it's the right choice or not, if you're trying to get to the postseason, I don't know. JVT on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha steaks. Look at that steak, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. You a filet guy? What are you?
Yeah, filet, ribeye. I bounce around.
I'm a filet guy. From legendary steaks to mouthwatering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, let's see, Brian M. Coach Silverfield was, in fact, covered in iced coffee yesterday.
There you go. See?
There you go. And he actually sent us a video. I could think it was iced. By the way, a lot of people reacting to Mike Sando's appearance on the show yesterday. He is one of the AP NFL awards bettors, voters. Yep. And people were not happy with his.
What part?
All Josh Allen people are like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh. Well, there's one thing. Like,
that's why
this
we had him on.
I mean,
that
this is
the point.
This is where we discuss betting odds, right? Like, there is, yes, Josh Allen should be favored right now, in my opinion, but there's still a window, a possibility that he doesn't get home with the award. There are still 3 weeks left.
You know who was also not happy with it? Cleve T.A. was not happy with it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have a bet on it, he said. Joe Abraham, the pennant lineup behind Matty Cox was top flight apartment decor. USF, Florida Atlantic, Hawaii, Duke, Indiana, and can't tell the other one. The other one was Mississippi Valley State.
Sure.
And then last name Nash, and I had no idea about this. Good to see Matty Cox back from his short paternity leave. Looking forward to more weekly segments with the Weave this college basketball season. Matty Cox is a brand new father. He had a little girl 6 days ago.
I misheard that. I was back in the control room during the break. I thought you said it was 6 or 16 hours ago.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I felt really bad because I started bugging the three-man weave guys. They didn't return my first text yesterday. So I was like, Matt, are you good for this spot tomorrow or not?
Because the way he said it off air, he goes, yeah, she was born 12-12. And I was like, 12-12 last night or yesterday afternoon? He goes, no, 12-12 the date. I'm like, oh. Okay, I was going to say.
Oh, congrats, Matt.
And then Rick Olier, hey, guys, why did you say not to call it Frisco? My son was super pumped to visit the Golden Gate Bridge for Christmas, but now he feels like he isn't welcome in San Fran anymore. Don't say Frisco. Don't say San Fran. Don't do any of that when you go to San Francisco.
You go to Frisco, Texas. We learned about that yesterday. National Video Game Museum's there.
Really?
Yeah, look
in Frisco,
it.
Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, he is one of the people, one of the remaining people who have himself a Circa Survivor entry that is alive. There are 50 entries left. He is the co-founder of Profit X. He is Jake Bensequin, joining us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jake, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Happy to be back here.
And Jake, let me just ask you what I asked you off air first, before we get into anything about your pick this week, about Christmas, how you're playing that, monetization, all of it. Can you even allow yourself, for those 3 weeks left in the NFL season, but obviously four with the Christmas quirk and Survivor, can you even allow yourself to get excited yet with Christmas looming?
I think all the fun's been sucked out of it at this point. It's been more stressful than enjoyable of late. I think post Thanksgiving, a flip really switched.
Yeah, the attitude when Jake first came on, I was so impressed with.
Yes.
The wavering in the tone you can hear now. I understand, Jake. It's a lot on the line.
Well, because part of it, Jake, remember last time you were on, and by the way, let me just say what I said earlier on the show. I have, just full disclosure, I have a very, very, very small portion of Jake's Survivor entry. But again, don't ask, don't tell. None of us who are invested give any advice. It's all Jake picking all of them. I asked you last time, did you have any sweats? And you wanted a mulligan on that because you answered that you hadn't, but there was one. And since I asked you, you've had nothing but sweats, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. I had answered that previously incorrect. I appreciate the mulligan. I was on Jacksonville earlier this year when they played Joe Flacco and the Colts. And if anyone remembers, or I'm not sure too many people were watching the fourth quarter of that game early on, but Flacco scored 14 points in the fourth quarter and they wouldn't go away. And Jacksonville had to win it on a 55-60 yarder from Cam Little, whose name I will never forget now.
Never.
Yeah, no, since I said that and since I came on, I've had to deal with Kansas City and Cincinnati. Cincinnati last Monday night or two Monday nights ago. So it's been, as I said, and as you know, Kelly's picking up over here, the confidence hasn't wavered, but the stress of the situation has definitely creeped into the fun side a little bit.
Yeah, Kansas City, just to clarify, Kansas City was the day after Thanksgiving where the Raiders just snapped the ball for that. First of all, they called the timeout too early, then they snapped the ball and fumbled, and Kansas City miraculously won that game. And then I would argue that the Cincinnati game against Dallas might be the quickest change of emotions in Survivor history. A punt is blocked, and so for, I don't know, what was it, 2.3 seconds, just going to throw that out there, you're like, it's over. And then Dallas did the Leon Lett thing and touched the football, and Cincinnati got it back. Even Joe Buck didn't get that Cincinnati maintained possession at that point. So that was unbelievable. Just incredible.
Yeah, I had never seen that before. I watched a lot of football. Never had seen that one before. Just saw the officials pointing the other way in Cincinnati ball. But that one was, that's like a scientific study, right? If I could actually process everything in real time as it was happening, I don't think I did. I think I just saw Cincinnati ball, which was better than the Chiefs game for sure, which was a long, drawn out, ooh, I'm going to lose here.
Brutal. Okay. This week, week 16, the week before Christmas, what are you thinking?
It's hard to not take the so-and-so-called free square with Green Bay in advance to Christmas. I obviously know there's no guarantees out here, but do I want to be on Penix? Probably not. I don't know if it can get much worse than Kirk Cousins, but rookie QB, Giants seem to be a total disaster. But it's hard at this point. I know that sometimes the math and the EV of the selections can go against this, but Christmas is, you know, the biggest swing of the year and always has been, and everyone's been preparing for it since before the season started, right? So having a 13.5 point, I think even they're at 14.5, I saw last night on Circa, having that as an option, and Green Bay only could really be utilized in week 18, and week 18, who the hell knows what's going on? So it's tough to pass that up, but for me, it's really that or Atlanta. I don't have Cincinnati. I don't have Buffalo.
Okay, I like that. In my best Tony Romo voice, just don't say free square, Jake.
Yeah, of course. Don't say that. It's okay. I've been using it pretty freely out here for others and for myself. But if they lose, they lose. I would be okay going down with 14.5 point home favorite.
Far more interesting. And interesting, I say in quotes, because from your perspective, it's probably, oh God, interesting and would not be the word you would use, is the 3-game Christmas quirk in this contest. None of the 6 is a comfortable play. What are you thinking right now? Obviously, your mind can change, but what are you thinking right now?
Yeah, so this contest has gotten incredibly interesting the last week. I mean, it's already been, obviously an extremely well-run and popular contest over the last few years. But you have, as I mentioned, Atlanta going with Michael Penix yesterday and benching Kirk Cousins. So the team with arguably the most future value outside of like a Philly or something just changed their starting quarterback after not being able to score a touchdown in Vegas. So they are home versus the Giants this week and then home versus Carolina in week 18. So that's a huge wrinkle. Then we get to Christmas. And Christmas now has both starting quarterbacks for the for the Chiefs and for the Seahawks going down. So you got Geno and Mahomes now looking gimpy. Mahomes did practice fully yesterday, which I think was a huge surprise to everyone. But I'm left with Pittsburgh and Chicago, who are playing those two quarterbacks. So the decision for me, I don't think it'll come down to a QB decision. It looks like both of those guys are going to be good to go on Christmas after, Sunday night, Monday morning, thinking neither might be, especially with the way Geno's looked and with the way Mahomes has looked. I mean, I can't believe he practiced yesterday, but someone asked me last night, do you trust, the Steelers or the Bears more? And I basically said, how could you possibly trust the Bears more? So it's tough. It's looking like either of those selections are going to be slight dogs with some lines finally out, but either way, it's going to be a massive, massive swing in the contest. You're going to result with the least half the people gone.
Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens, Texans, Seahawks, Bears. Those are the 3 games, Christmas Day and the day after Christmas. Real quick, last 2 questions. 1, have you begun monetization?
I've sold 10% of the entry, a little bit to yourself, Gil, over here, and a little bit to some other friends. So I have started monetizing it. I think Christmas again, assuming we get through this week, creates a great monetization opportunity as well. So have started with equity chunks being sold off, but haven't actually started necessarily, hedging on the other side.
The hedging was what I was referring to. Okay. Yeah. And then lastly, you told us last time you finally told your parents. Yeah. Are they dancing around? Are they having discussions with you about this? What are they doing?
Just annoying me for the pick, which is okay. it's understood at this point, but it's become a little bit bigger than me in terms of I've got a lot of people, understanding the gravity of the mm-hmm. situation, which is not making it any more fun. It makes it way worse. I liked it when I was just sweating in silence.
Jay, good luck. Let's go.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't just watch the college football playoffs this year. Get in on the action with the VSiN Road to Jan Sanity contest. Your football handicapping skills could win you $5,000. And the best part, it's absolutely free to enter. Your challenge, pick the games against the spread for every round. The contestant with the most points after the title game wins $5,000. Head over to VSiN.com/Jan Sanity for the contest rules and to register. Don't wait. Tomorrow's the last day to enter. Visit VSiN.com/Jan Sanity and let the Jan Sanity begin. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. This is from Ice Cold Gambler. Let's get Sporer on ASAP. We need baseball talk. I'll be fading the Angels and would like to hear his thoughts. White Sox 49.5 wins. Oh, my God. I think Tennessee could win 50 games in MLB. If you can't win 50 games, you should be ... he says. I think he's saying relegated there. And then Torch D, VSiN's own Adam Schein, voting for Sam Darnold for Comeback Player of the Year. So Adam Schein, who we hope to have on the show, Kelly will grab Adam Schein, who, of course, is a VSiN host here weekdays. We'll get him on and get all of his awards thoughts as well, in addition to those we've gotten from Mike Sando and from Aaron Schatz. It is my pleasure to have this lady on for the first time ever on this show, kind enough to come in studio. And as I was saying earlier, her story is probably about as good as anybody's in this industry. I would say Jeff Ma being part of the MIT Blackjack team is probably the coolest story of them all. But Gina Fiores is right up there. She was a dealer in a casino and one day got the inspiration to go to the other side, if you will, count cards. That led to a life of looking at hole carding and had a team of players with her. She ended up winning, that team did, over $15 million over time with all kinds of other advantage play as well. And she's got a whole bunch going on right now, including a masterclass. We'll get to that. She's got a calendar. Kind enough to join us in the studio. By the way, she works for Unabated as well. It's Gina Fiore. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, for sure. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Did I accurately describe?
You did. You did.
How did you... Well, let's just start there for a second before we get into all this stuff. What was the... Sort of, what was the epiphany for you? You're a young lady. You're just an employee in a casino. And one day you decided, yeah, there's a better way here.
I had an epiphany. I had a plot point in my life. There was a dealer. I was dealing on the strip. And there was a dealer who quit his job. And I asked him, you know, what are you going to do? Did you get another job? And he said, I'm going to play poker in Laughlin and count cards. That was exactly what he said. And at that moment, I was like, because I had heard of counting cards. I was like, you can do this for a living. This is a thing that you can do. And I did not like dealing blackjack.
Were you? Oh, because you were searching for a career at that point?
I wasn't. When I was in high school, my mom was a dealer at the Horseshoe. And she saw people getting kicked out for card counting. And she told me that she thought I'd be good at it. And I'm in high school because I was okay at math. And so I remembered this thing she said. And then I hear this guy saying he's going to quit to count cards for a living. And I don't know what happened in my brain, but that was it. I was just obsessed. So I went downtown, got some books and taught myself.
Yeah. And studied it.
I studied it obsessively. I was obsessed.
Really?
Yeah.
And at what point then? How long did you do that before you discovered hole carding?
God, I was counting
cards. And
explain
to folks, by the way, what hole carding is for those who might not know.
So hole carding is, I mean, the dealer's dealing right and you shouldn't see their bottom card if they're doing their procedure correctly. And hole carding is just, they're not doing their procedure correctly or the machine is just stationed in a way that when they bring the cards out, you could just see the hole card. And it's not illegal. It's just something that is there for everyone to see. And once you know what to look for, you're just like, oh, there's a card. And now I have a huge edge. And you're not doing anything to get the dealer to show you. You know, you're just sitting there. It's like, oh, I can see this thing.
Just their mechanics, in other words.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you estimate is the ratio of dealers out there? One in how many were you able to discover, oh, this is someone whose hole card I can see?
Yeah, I would say one in 300, one in 250. It's a lot of scouting. It is a lot of walking around.
So your life is just going around casinos, seeing and spotting someone, and then just milking that.
For many years, I had no other life than scouting casinos. And there were other opportunities. It wasn't just that. But yeah, I'd had no social life for, I don't know, a decade at least.
A decade?
Yeah.
So let me just follow suit here. So then... At some point, you went from Gina Solo to a team. Did you make the assessment that your profile, right, meaning the profile as the casino sees you, was not going to be as lucrative as if you recruited others?
Definitely. Me being me, I can get away. I could have gotten away, and I don't do this anymore. I just bet sports. But I could have gotten away with a lot because... And just honestly, floormen or people working in the casino don't look at me and think I'm sharp. They just don't. So I can just, you know, see the hole card, bet my table minimum and signal someone else, my, you know, Asian woman or my older white guy wearing a Tommy Bahama. Like I can signal someone else to bet the money. And so that keeps my profile, you know, very, very low, very anonymous.
And people should know, I feel the need to interject. People should know. You are not doing the profiling there. You are actually reflecting what a casino actually has as a prejudice.
Right. Oh, yeah. As far as, and I would play it up. You know, my best thing, I would get like a 13 and then I'd hit and I'd get a 3 and I'd say like 40, 60. And it gets them every time. And they're just like, 17. There's no way that this person is doing anything. So they just wouldn't assume that I was sharp.
It's an amazing story because it becomes so big and so lucrative that you end up not only doing it, you know, by ground, You end up flying different places. You end up having an experience. I was doing, you, by the way, the easiest person to research in the world is Gina, because there's so much on her, and we'll get to all the stuff that's available, including a documentary on her life as a gambler. But one you know, famous incident is y'all won a bunch of money in Puerto Rico, I believe it was, in Puerto Rico. You fly back, or well, like, go through the circumstance. How did it happen?
Yeah, so we were on a, I was with one partner, and we were on a trip, a work trip. And we went from Las Vegas to Atlantic City to Puerto Rico. And we're playing blackjack everywhere. So in Puerto Rico, I just had a random bag search from TSA. And they saw that I had $30,000 in my bag. And they said, and it was a lot. And they were like, you know, what is this? And I said, I was playing in the casino. And they said, don't be surprised if someone in Las Vegas stops to talk to you, or stops you to talk to you. Okay, so I'm on the plane taking off, and I send a text to another partner to call Bob Nersessian, who is a big time civil attorney for a lot of gamblers when gamblers' rights are, you know, gamblers' rights. So we had a stop in Atlanta. We get off the plane, and 2 minutes later, we're surrounded by DEA agents, just surrounded, and they've got the dogs, and you've got the DEA agents, like, look like travelers, you know, they got the backpacks, and they're, they look like civilians. And so they surround us and they check our bags. And my partner had another 65K. So we have like $97,000. Where'd you get the money? What were you doing? And so we were I was very honest. We were gambling, and I used to keep, records, like just perfect records. I was like, we were in Puerto Rico, we were in Las Vegas, or sorry, we were in Atlantic City, like, you know, everything. They were going to take our money no matter what. They said the dog got a hit. I'm like, the dog is sleeping. The dog, nothing happened to the dog. The dog got a hit.
They take unaware.
Yeah. They take all of our money, 97,000. I mean, every dollar we had, just took it all. So we flew to Las Vegas. Bob was at the gate waiting for us. And then it was, he filed something immediately to get the money back, you know, on our tax returns, professional gambler. I've been filing as a pro for 2 decades at this point. So yeah, so we filed something and they wouldn't give the money back. And it was 8 months before we got the money back. And it was the eighth month, they said, if you sign something that you won't sue, we'll give you the money back. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, it's not happening.
Good for you.
Yeah, like, you violated our rights. So we got the money back.
Because you had had some previous experience here in town where you regretted not going after it. I remember.
Right. I was backroomed in the casino for 4 hours. And I was the one who called the police. The police came in, kept us there for 4 hours and taunted us. And so I did sue. I sued the casino and I sued Metro, and we ended up settling. So here we were, and I wanted to prove a point, because civil asset forfeiture is a big deal. It's a huge deal. Like, they will take your money and make you prove that it's yours. So we ended up suing the DEA agent because you can't sue the DEA. And we sued him in Georgia. I'm sorry. We sued him in Nevada, where we felt Nevada had the burden. We couldn't spend our money here. The crime happened in Georgia, but we felt Nevada was the state that experienced this outcome. And so it was appeal. And the Ninth Circuit said, yeah, you can sue in Nevada, because he wanted us to sue in Georgia. So he appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States, and they took the case.
Wow.
Yeah. It was 8 years of appeals and back and forth. So we went to SCOTUS in 2014. And the argument was over jurisdiction. Where can you sue if a crime happens? And we lost. And so he won. And we had to sue in Georgia. But the thing is, it set a precedent in this country for jurisdiction, for personal jurisdiction. So now I've run into a lot of lawyers who say, oh, we had to study your SCOTUS case.
That alone is awesome.
It is, but we wanted to set a precedent. It wasn't about the money. We weren't going to make money. It was a precedent to say, not only can you not do this, but we have to make it hard for you. Like, you can't do this anywhere. Now we have to fight you over there. Like, we should be able to fight you in our home state.
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
We'll continue this. But I want to get to all the things that you're doing, including Masterclass. Gina Fiore on A Numbers Game. Coming back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up at the top of the hour, after A Numbers Game, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Stormy's got Patrick Maher in with her today, or not in, but on the show with her today, from noon to 2 Eastern, followed by Prop Points with John Hanson from 2 to 3, and then Adam Schein with Make It Rain. Awards voter Adam Schein from 3 to 4, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Which brings us to our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. A bevy from guests. My only one is I'm still on the Commanders. The Commodores, plus 3.5 versus the Eagles on Sunday. I got off that Browns bet. Kelly is still on the Browns bet, but he's trying to get off it as well. He's got the Browns plus 7 versus the Bengals. DTR going for the Browns behind center. And then he's on the Giants Falcons under 42. Michael Penix getting his first start for the Atlanta Falcons. JBT was on earlier. He's got one in the NFL, one in college football. College football, he's on Tennessee, Ohio State, the under 47.5 as the college football playoff begin. And he's on the Panthers. He has been on the Panthers for 6 straight weeks. He is riding them again, plus 4.5. He was off them this past week. He faded them this past week. Matty Cox with only one college basketball play. He's on Youngstown State, plus the 7 points. And then Jason Weingarten on his way out. He did the old Columbo bet. He's like, oh yeah, one more thing. He is on the Denver Broncos taking the 3 points against the Los Angeles Chargers. GBank, once again, the official bank of VSiN, each and every day on the show, each and every show on the network. VSiN recommends every better. Make the GBank Visa Signature Card part of your betting toolbox. Save up to 3-5% on cash advance fees. Earn cash back rewards on eligible betting transactions. And now for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Subject credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Skill Alexander, Gina Fiore, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment here on A Numbers Game. Just want to wrap up your story because yeah. we have so much else to talk about. Ultimately, though, they won. You said you settled, I thought.
So we settled versus Metro and the casino that gotcha. Backroomed me. As far as the DEA agent, they won jurisdiction. So now if we wanted to take it further, we had to sue in Georgia. And now it's 8 years after, you know, we had our money seized. And I do regret this, but we let it go. It's like, if we sued in Georgia, it would be a whole thing.
At some point you have to, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to move on.
It was just to prove a point. It was just to prove a point. And yeah, we let it go.
And then, okay, this begs the question then. By the way, this entire sort of life that Gina led as an advantage player is represented in the documentary, which is called?
It's called Miss Brown.
Miss Brown, which is the name you took all these years when you were doing this?
Yeah, that's the name I use on like blackjack message boards. And then in the blackjack world, they still call me Miss Brown or MB. That's how people refer to me.
By the way, Gina's Twitter is at RX Gamble, like the prescription, RX Gamble. There's a shot of Miss Brown winning against the house, the documentary based on her life. Now, can I ask you a question? Is that you or the actress that plays you?
No, that's me.
That's you. Yeah. Okay. Because the actress who plays you favors you, right? Like, you guys look quite
good. Yeah, they casted that amazingly.
Yeah. What is her name?
Her name's Christina, the actress.
Christina. Okay.
Christina Bra.
So if people want to get that, what's the easiest way for them to go to your Twitter? Maybe is there a link there to you?
No. So it's a series by Meadowlark Media. They made a series called Sports Explains the World. I think it's 16 episodes, and it was sort of like a 30 for 30 sort of thing. You know, the president of ESPN went over to Meadowlark Media. So he created the series. Yes, yeah. Exactly. He created the series. They're all done. They're all in the can. I've seen a couple of them. They're great. And they haven't sold the series yet. So you can see the trailer online. There's a link on my website, but you can't watch the documentary, unfortunately.
Can't watch the documentary.
No.
Okay.
No, not yet.
All right. Well, there are some things you can get here. We'll get to that. How did you transition then? Because everybody who listens to this show bets on sports. Some also bet in the casino, in the gaming tables. How did you transition to sports betting? What was the point in your life where you're like, you know what? This was a great thing in my life, but I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. I have always had friends who bet professionally because there is crossover, but I was too busy doing other things. And then I was pregnant and I didn't want to be in the casino for the secondhand smoke. I just didn't want to be around it. I actually got a mask at the time and I was the only person because it was not
you were that person.
It was, it was before COVID. So I was betting someone else's stuff at home while I was pregnant. And then I just, when you're in the casino playing, you're scouting for new opportunities, like always, not just counting or hole carding. You're looking for everything. So I was on these websites, 2015. So this was all like, you know, bookie stuff. And I'm looking at every betting menu and I'm just trying to find things. And so I found a lot of live baseball that was off. It was just severely off from Pinnacle. So I would just sit there pregnant betting live baseball totals. And yeah, it lasted for two seasons. So when I was pregnant and then when my son was a baby. So I did that for two seasons and it introduced me.
You're holding your son betting baseball.
Sometimes I was holding my son betting baseball.
I love that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And so you have done, you have been a sports bettor now for all these years and you end up, we all know Captain Jack and Rufus, our buddies, who co-founded Unabated and you work at Unabated now.
Yeah. I do some content for Unabated. I joined the site because I've been friends with Captain Jack for over 20 years.
Wow.
We were on the Blackjack message boards together. And if you know Captain Jack, he's on Twitter or he's on Discord, the Unabated Discord, answering everyone's questions.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. He was doing this 20 years ago.
He's the commissioner of sports betting.
Yes. You had a blackjack question 20 years ago and he was, you know, on the blackjack forums answering questions.
It's in his bio. I said he was the commissioner of sports betting.
Yeah,
That's right.
Yeah. But so I joined Unabated with the idea that I have a lot of knowledge about gambling. Like I do. I understand the mechanics of gambling and I thought I could explain sports betting to an audience that's less educated than who Captain Jack speaks to.
Gotcha.
Because he kind of speaks to the middle of the road gambler and above or sports bettor. And I thought I can get to those people who don't know much.
And you do a podcast now.
I was doing a podcast for Unabated. Yeah. And I wrote some articles and yeah, I've been bouncing around. We're sort of trying to figure out what the best way to reach those bettors is.
Well, you know, when I told Bill Ady, who just walked in here, when I told him you were coming on, his immediate response was, she's a great writer, which, by the way, at GinaFiore.com, your blog, it is really, you really are a great writer.
Oh, thanks.
So that's a huge thing that people can also resource from you. So here's the thing then. You are now doing a masterclass. People know this from, you may know it if like you have a Facebook account, it'll pop up, you know, Malcolm Gladwell on writing or Michael Lewis on storytelling. Mm-hmm. You are doing, along with a bunch of others, including Rufus and Jack, a masterclass on sports betting.
Right.
How great has that experience been?
It was a great experience, but let's be honest, I've been, you know, betting for 9 years. So I'm not going to call myself a master sports bettor, but that wasn't what they did. They did an hour and 10 minutes and it really is the basics. It's really like people are just losing so much money.
So much.
They're getting crushed. So it was a very basic, this is the mechanics of sports books. This is how it works. This is price discovery. This is the VIG. This is a money line. It starts with that.
This is so, by the way, this is so great because there's so many bettors who are newish. And by the way, even for all of us, right? Like all of this stuff is great too, but I wish when we started sports betting so many decades ago, I wish there was a resource like this.
Yeah.
And they can go to RX Gamble and access Masterclass.
So they can go to my website, GinaFiore.com, and there's a link for Masterclass, or you can just go to masterclass.com. And I think they advertise it in And yeah, it's not for the professional. You know all this stuff, but even the bettor that's maybe been betting a year, they might not understand price discovery. They just might not. You know what? I actually had the thought that the audience that watches Masterclass would probably watch this and send it to their 22-year-old son who's been betting like 8-leg parlays during Thanksgiving, and they might just send it over and be like, oh, you might want to watch this.
One last thing before we go, because we only have a minute. Mm-hmm. You have a calendar.
I do. I have a calendar.
365 days of gambling.
Yes.
What was the epiphany here? You just decided, you know, you were looking for one and it didn't exist.
I was looking for one last year and it didn't exist. And I'm doing a lot of creative projects like the documentary. I'm writing a TV show, a drama, and nothing. Everything's slow. So I knew I could do this. I'm like, I can do a calendar. I can do this. So I did this calendar and it's got 365 different things, casino history, gambling trivia quotes.
I'll give an example. August 26, 2025, United States President Richard Nixon used poker winnings to help finance his first congressional campaign.
Yeah.
And other tidbits like that, one for every day of the year.
Yeah, and I verified everything three times. So, yeah.
How long did it take you to do it?
It took me so long. It took me dozens of hours. It took me a very long time.
She's shaking when she's in it. And they can go to?
They can go to my website and there's a link, or they can go to 365daysofgambling.com. So either my website or 365
All right.
Days of Gambling.
Stormy's next. Enjoy from Visa.